The Chandra people always said they were of preservation, while the Kolos and Inquisitors were of ruin. Yet the Chandra bore hemallergic spikes just like the others. Was their claim, then, simple delusion? No, I think not. They were created by the Lord Ruler to be spies. When they said such things, most of us interpreted that as meaning he planned to use them as spies in his new government, because of their ability to imitate other people. Indeed, they were used for this purpose. But I see something much more grand in their existence. They were the Lord Ruler's double agents, planted with hemallergic spikes, yet trusted, taught, bound, to pull them free when Ruin tried to seize them. In Ruin's moment of triumph, when he'd always assumed the Chandra would be his on a whim, the vast majority of them immediately switched sides and left him unable to seize his prize. They were of preservation all along. 80.
The Terrace men did a good job with this place, my lord, Demu said. Ellen nodded, walking through the quiet nighttime camp with hands clasped behind his back. He was glad he'd stopped to change into a fresh white uniform before leaving Fadrick's. As it was supposed to, the clothing attracted attention. The people seemed to take hope simply from seeing him. Their lives had been cast into chaos. They needed to know that their leader was aware of their situation.
The camp is enormous, as you can see, Demu continued. Several hundred thousand people now live here. Without the terracemen, I doubt that the refugees would have survived. As it is, they managed to keep sickness to a minimum, to organize crews to filter and bring fresh water to the camp, and to distribute food and blankets.
Demu hesitated, glancing at Elland.
Food is running out, however, the general said quietly.
Apparently, when he'd discovered that Penrod was dead and that most of Luthadel's population was at the pits, he decided to keep his men there to help. They passed another campfire, and the people there rose. They watched Elland and his general with hope. At this campfire, Demu stopped as a young terrace woman approached and handed him and Elland some warm tea to drink. Her eyes lingered fondly on Demu, and he thanked her by name. The terrace people were affectionate toward Demu. They were thankful to him for bringing soldiers to help organize and police the mass of refugees. The people needed leadership and order in these times.
I shouldn't have left Luthadel, Elland said quietly.
Demu didn't respond immediately. The two of them finished their tea, then continued on, walking with an honor guard of about 10 soldiers, all from Demu's group. The general had sent several messengers back to Elland. They had never arrived. Perhaps they hadn't been able to get around the lava field. Or perhaps they had run afoul of the very same army of Kolos Elland had passed on his way to Luthadel.
Those Kolos, Elland thought. The ones we drove away from Fadrick's, plus more, are coming directly in this direction. There are even more people here than there were in Fadrick's, and they don't have a city wall or many soldiers at all to protect them.
Have you been able to figure out what happened in Luthadel, Demu? Elland asked quietly, pausing in a darkened area between campfires. It still felt so strange to be out with no mists to obscure the night. He could see so much further. Yet, oddly, the night didn't seem as bright.
Penrod, my lord, Demu said softly. They say he went mad. He began finding traitors in the nobility, even within his own army. He divided the city, and it turned into another house war. Almost all of the soldiers killed one another, and the city half burned down. The majority of the people escaped, but they have very little by way of protection. A determined group of bandits could probably wreak havoc on this whole group.
Elland fell silent.
House war, he thought with frustration. Ruin using our own tricks against us. That's the same method Kelsier used to seize the city.
My lord, Demu said tentatively.
Speak, Elland said. You were right to send me and my men back, Demu said.
The survivor is behind this, my lord. He wanted us here for some reason.
Elland frowned.
What makes you say that? These people, Demu said. They fled Luthadel because of Kelsier. He appeared to a pair of soldiers, then a group of people in the city. They say he told them to be ready for disaster, and to lead the people out of the city. It's because of them that so many escaped. Those two soldiers and their friends had supplies prepared, and they had the presence of mind to come here.
Ellen's frown deepened, yet he had seen too much to reject even such a strange story.
Send for these men, he said.
Demu nodded, waving for a soldier.
Also, Ellen said, remembering that Demu and his men had been sick from the mists, see if anyone here has any allomantic metals. Pass them out to your soldiers and have them ingest them.
My lord, Demu said, confused as he turned.
It's a long story, Demu, Ellen said. Suffice it to say that your god, or somebody, has made you and your men into allomancers. Divide your men by the metal it turns out they can burn. We're going to need all of the coin shots, thugs, and lurchers we can get.
Sazed's eyes fluttered open, and he shook his head, groaning. How long had he been out? Probably not long, he realized, as his vision cleared. He'd passed out from lack of air. That kind of thing usually left one unconscious for a short time. Assuming one woke up at all. Which I did, he thought, coughing and rubbing his throat, sitting up. The Chondra Cavern glowed with the quiet light of its blue phosphorescent lanterns. By that light, he could see that he was surrounded by something strange. Mist wraiths. The cousins of the Chondra, the scavengers that hunted at night and fed on corpses. They moved about Sazed, masses of muscle, flesh, and bone, but with those bones combined in strange, unnatural ways. Feet hanging off at angles, heads connected to arms, ribs used like legs. Except these bones were not actually bone at all, but stone, metal, or wood. Sazed stood up solemnly as he looked over the remnants of the Chondra people. Littered across the floor, among the jumbled mass of mist wraiths, who oozed about like giant, translucent slugs, were discarded spikes. Chondra blessings. The things that had brought them sentience. They had done it. They had held to their oath, and had removed their spikes rather than be taken over by ruin. Sazed looked over them with pity, amazement, and respect. The Atium, he thought. They did this to stop ruin from getting the Atium. I have to protect it. He stumbled away from the main chamber, regaining his strength as he made his way to the Trust Warren. He paused, however, as he approached, noticing sounds. He peeked around a corner and looked down the corridor through the open Trust Warren doorway. Inside, he found a group of Chondra, perhaps 20 in number, working to push back the plate on the floor that covered the Atium. Of course they didn't all become mist wraiths, he thought. Some would have been outside of the hearing of the Firsts, or wouldn't have had the courage to pull their spikes free. In fact, as he thought about it, he was even more impressed that so many had obeyed the command from the first generation. Sazed easily recognized Khan Par directing the work inside. The Chondra would take the Atium and would deliver it to ruin. Sazed had to stop them. But it was 20 against 1, with Sazed having only one small metal mind. It didn't seem like good odds for him. However, then Sazed noticed something sitting outside the doors of the Trust Warren. A simple cloth sack, of little note save for the fact that Sazed recognized it. He'd carried his metal mines in it for years. They must have tossed it there after taking Sazed captive. It lay about 20 feet down the corridor from him, right beside the doorway into the Trust Warren. In the other room, Khan Par looked up, staring directly towards Sazed's position. Ruin had noticed him. Sazed didn't pause to think further. He reached into his pocket, grabbed the steel lock, and tapped it. He rushed through the corridor on inhumanly quick feet, snatching his sack from the ground as Chondra began to cry out. Sazed snapped open the sack and found a collection of bracelets, rings, and bracers inside.
He dumped them out, spilling the precious metal mines to the floor, and grabbed two particular ones. Then, still moving at blurring speed, he dashed to the side. His steel mind ran out. One of the rings he'd grabbed was pewter. He tapped it for strength, growing in size and bulk. Then he slammed the doors to the trust warren closed, causing those now trapped inside to cry out in shock. Finally, he tapped the other ring, this one iron. He grew several times heavier, making himself into a doorstop, holding the massive metal doors to the trust warren closed. It was a delaying tactic. He stood, holding the doors shut, his metal mines depleting at an alarming rate. They were the same rings he'd worn at the siege of Luthadel, the ones that had been embedded within him. He'd replenished them following the siege, before he'd given up Ferrokemi. They would not last long. What would he do when the Khandra burst through the door? He searched desperately for a way to bar or block the portal, but could see nothing. And if he let go for even a moment, the Khandra inside would burst free. "Please," he whispered, hoping that, like before, the thing that listened would give him a miracle. "I'm going to need help."
"I swear it was him, my lord," said the soldier, a man named Riddle. "I believed in the Church of the Survivor since the day of Kelsier's own death, my lord. He preached to me, converted me to the rebellion. I was there when he visited the caves and had Lord Damu fight for his honor. I'd know Kelsier like I'd know my father. It was the Survivor."
Elland turned to the other soldier, who nodded in agreement.
"I didn't know him, my lord," said this man. "However, he matched the descriptions. I think it was really him, I do."
Elland turned to Damu, who nodded.
"They described Lord Kelsier very accurately, my lord. He is watching over us."
"Elland..."
A messenger arrived and whispered something to Damu. The night was dark, and in the torchlight, Elland turned to study the two soldiers who had seen Kelsier. They didn't look like highly reliable witnesses. Elland hadn't exactly left his best soldiers behind when he'd gone campaigning. Still, others had apparently seen the Survivor, too. Elland would want to speak with them. He shook his head. And where in the world was Vin?
"Elland..."
"My lord,"
Damu said, touching his arm, looking concerned. Elland dismissed the two soldier witnesses. Accurate or not, he owed them a great debt. They had saved many lives with their preparation.
"Scouts report, my lord," Damu said, face illuminated by a pole-top torch flickering in the night breeze. "Those Koloss you saw, they are heading this way. Moving quickly. Scouts saw them approaching in the distance from a hilltop. They could be here before the night is over."
Elland cursed quietly.
"Elland..."
He frowned. Why did he keep hearing his name on the wind? He turned, looking into the darkness. Something was pulling him, guiding him, whispering to him. He tried to ignore it, turning back to Damu. And yet it was there in his heart.
"Come."
It sounded like Vin's voice.
"Gather an honor guard," Elland said, grabbing the torch by its shaft, then throwing on an ash cloak and buttoning it down to his knees. Then he turned toward the darkness.
"My lord,"
Damu said.
"Just do it,"
Elland said, striding off into the darkness. Damu called for some soldiers, following in a hurry. "What am I doing?" Elland thought, pushing his way through the waist-deep ash, using the cloak to keep his uniform somewhat clean.
"Chasing at dreams? Maybe I'm going mad."
He could see something in his mind, a hillside with a hole in it. A memory, perhaps? Had he come this way before? Damu and his soldiers followed quietly, looking apprehensive. Elland pushed onward. He was almost... He stopped. There it was, the hillside. It would have been indistinguishable from the others around it, except there were tracks leading up to it. Elland frowned, pushing forward through the deep ash, moving to the point where the tracks ended. There, he found a hole in the ground, leading down.
A cave, he thought. Perhaps... a place for my people to hide?
It wouldn't be big enough for that, likely. Still, the caves Kelsier had used for his rebellion had been large enough to hold some 10,000 men. Curious, Ellen poked down into the cave, walking down its steep incline, throwing off the cloak. Demu and his men followed with curiosity. The tunnel went down for a bit, and Ellen was surprised to find that there was light coming from ahead. Immediately he flared pewter, growing tense. He tossed aside his torch, then burned tin, enhancing his vision. He could see several poles that glowed blue at the top. They appeared to be made of rock.
What in the world?
He moved forward quickly, motioning for Demu and his men to follow. The tunnel led to a vast cavern. Ellen stopped. It was as large as one of the storage caverns. Larger, perhaps. Down below, something moved.
Mistwraiths, he realized with surprise. Is this where they hide? In holes in the ground?
He dropped a coin, shooting himself through the poorly lit cavern to land on the stone floor a distance away from Demu and the others. The mistwraiths weren't as large as others he had seen. And why were they using rocks and wood in place of bones? He heard a sound. Only tin-enhanced ears let him catch it, but it sounded distinctly unlike a sound a mistwraith would make. Stone against metal. He waved sharply to Demu, then moved carefully down a side corridor. At its end, he stopped in surprise. A familiar figure stood against a pair of large metal doors, grunting, apparently trying to hold them closed.
"Sazed?" Ellen asked, standing up straighter.
Sazed looked up, saw Ellen, and was apparently so surprised that he lost control of the doors. They burst open, throwing the terraceman aside, revealing a group of angry, translucent-skinned Chondra.
"Your Majesty," Sazed said, "do not let them escape."
Demu and his soldiers clanked up behind Ellen.
That's either Sazed or a Chondra who ate his bones, Ellen thought. He made a snap decision. He'd trusted the voice in his ear. He'd trust that this was Sazed.
The group of Chondra tried to get past Demu's soldiers. However, the Chondra weren't particularly good warriors, and their weapons were made of metal. It took Ellen and Demu all of about 2 minutes to subdue the group, breaking their bones to keep them from healing and escaping. Afterward, Ellen walked over to Sazed, who had stood up and dusted himself off.
"How did you find me, Your Majesty?"
"I honestly don't know," Ellen said. "Sazed, what is this place?"
"The homeland of the Chondra people, Your Majesty," Sazed said. "And the hiding place of the Lord Ruler's Atium Horde."
Ellen raised an eyebrow, following Sazed's pointed finger. There was a room beyond the doors, and a pit in the floor.
"Great," Ellen thought. "Now we find it."
"You don't look too excited, Your Majesty," Sazed noted. "Kings, armies, Mistborn, even Kelsier himself, have been searching for this cache for years."
"It's worthless," Ellen said. "My people are starving and they can't eat metal. This cavern, however, it might prove useful. What do you think, Demu?"
"If there are any other chambers like that first one, my lord, it could hold a substantial percentage of our people." "There are 4 large caverns," Sazed said, "and 4 entrances that I know of."
Ellen turned to Demu. He was already giving orders to his soldiers.
"We have to get the people down here before the sun rises," Ellen thought, remembering the heat. "At the very least, before those Kolos arrive." After that, well, they would have to see. For now, Ellen had only one goal: survival.